Thanks, team. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day. From God our Father and from the Son of God, our Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Good morning, St. Luke's. And a special greeting to those visiting us today for the first time, whether from Bonnie Lake or Chicago or Federal Way, Tacoma, or wherever you're here from. I'm so glad that we're here together to get to worship. I'm Pastor Dan, and it's an honor to get to serve here, and it's an honor to be able to share God's word with you this morning. For about 50 years or so now, King FM 98.1, about 50 years now, King FM has broadcast every Sunday evening around 9:30 an ancient Christian prayer service called Compline. This service, Compline, it's a worship service that has prayer and scripture readings and singing and chanting. And I say it's an ancient Christian prayer service. It goes back about 14 or 1600 years. So starting in the year 400 AD, 600 AD, Christians would go through this worship service called Compline that you can listen to tonight on 98.1. And it goes back to a time when Christians didn't just worship on Sunday morning. They worshiped a little more regularly. They worshiped, actually, certain Christians every single day. And to go a step further, in certain kind of monastic communities, some Christians would even worship, like actually have church services, 7 times a day. Yeah, so kids who are frustrated at mom and dad for dragging you out of bed this morning, once a week, you'll be all right. They would have church services 7 times a day. They'd have like a super early morning service, and then kind of a regular morning service, and then a later morning service, an afternoon service, and a later afternoon service, and an evening service. And then they'd have the very, very last, right before bedtime service, about 9:30 in the evening, and it was called Compline. And it was the service just before they would retire for the evening and let their heads repose on their pillow for the night. And at the very end of the day, they'd have this last service. And at the very end of this service, one of the final things that they would sing or say or read or chant would be a prayer that sounded like this. Take a listen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. I think it's a beautiful prayer at the close of the day. It's a prayer that speaks to the relationship that we have with God. It's a relationship that is grounded in faith and trust, trusting God with all that we have and all that we are. It's a relationship that's centered in Jesus, who Jesus is, and what Jesus has done and continues to do for us. And that prayer speaks to the fact that our living relationship with God that is by faith in Jesus, it's not just an hour or two on Sunday mornings, it's not just a retreat every so often, but the relationship that we have with God by faith in Jesus, it encapsulates every moment, awake or asleep, of every day. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. This prayer is an especially fitting prayer at bedtime. You might not have thought about this for a while, or maybe if you think about it too much, it might be a source of anxiety for you, but we are most helpless when we sleep. We are most helpless when we sleep. Now, I thought about illustrating the fact that we are most helpless when we sleep. I thought about maybe showing you some videos from YouTube of people playing pranks on their sleeping roommates. There's no shortage of those videos, by the way, but we're not going to do that now. I thought about telling you that story and reminding you of that one time you were flying and the businessman across the aisle from you was sleeping with his mouth wide open, you know, snoring, and his head was bobbing every which way, totally clueless of what was happening in the world around him. And I think we could all remember that and resonate with that, and that would be fun. But we're not actually going for fun right now. Because the fact that we are most helpless when we sleep ought to give us some concern. Consider this. One study has shown that more than 80% of children between the ages of 2 and 13 years old sleep through smoke detectors and fire alarms. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping. We didn't have a smoke alarm go off recently, but our kids sometimes push buttons on their alarm clock. And so I walked upstairs and I heard, wah, 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 our kid just sleeping right through it. More than 80% of kids between 2 and 13 years old sleep through their smoke detectors and fire alarms. We're most helpless when we're sleeping. The experiment was conducted with controls. They didn't put houses on fire. They just turned the alarms off while kids were sleeping. But you can imagine furnishings being engulfed in flames, and the ground floor is filling with suffocating smoke, and the alarms are doing their job. They're screeching. They're wailing this sound of warning that echoes through the house, and these piercing sounds. But the kids don't wake up. They sleep through it. We are most helpless when we sleep. And so far we've been talking about, like, sleep. But it's also the case that we regularly use sleep as a euphemism for death. Now, a euphemism, fancy word of the day, a euphemism is an indirect or mild way of saying something that would otherwise be too harsh or uncomfortable. Right? A euphemism is a mild or indirect way of saying something that would otherwise be too harsh, too uncomfortable. We don't like talking about certain things, and so we replace uncomfortable words with nicer words to make it palatable, and we can talk about it. And sleep is a common euphemism for death, so that when our pets are aged and can no longer have a high quality of life, we put our dog to sleep. Sleep is a common euphemism for death. And we're not the first people to connect sleep and death. Even in the Old Testament, when the saints of God would die, especially when it was in the book of Kings and Chronicles and somebody in a leadership position, they would be described as sleeping or resting. So that when King David died, he rested and was buried with his ancestors. Psalm 13, the psalmist says, "Answer me, O Lord, lest I sleep the sleep of death." And in the New Testament, the analogy is used several times. St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's writing to a bunch of Christians who had loved ones who've died before them, and they're wondering, what happened to Dad? What happened to my husband? What happened to Grandma? And Paul says, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. And Jesus himself uses sleep as a euphemism for death in John chapter 11. Chapter 25 of the story that Kevin read for us just a moment ago. Mary and Martha have a brother, Lazarus, and Lazarus is sick. And so they send messengers to Jesus. The messenger comes and he finds Jesus, and he tells Jesus that their brother, Jesus' friend, this one whom Jesus loved, Lazarus, is sick. But for whatever reason, Jesus doesn't stop what he's doing and race off to the rescue. Sometimes Jesus does, by the way. In the Gospels, when people come to Jesus with a problem, they tell him about a situation that he can bring healing to. Sometimes Jesus stops everything he's doing and he'll go and bring healing. Other times, Jesus will say, don't worry about it, I'll just speak the word and I'll send healing from here. But not this time. This time, the messenger comes to Jesus and says that Lazarus is sick, and Jesus basically says, okay. And the messenger's like, so? And Jesus is like, anything else? Yeah, maybe you didn't hear me. Lazarus, your buddy, Mary, Martha, you know, the family you love, he's sick, he's going to die. And Jesus is like, yeah, I heard you. And the messenger goes back kind of awkwardly. And can you imagine that conversation when Mary and Martha are like, so where is he? I don't know. I'm not sure he's coming. Bethany, this village, is just 2 miles away. Just 2 miles away from Jerusalem. It's like walking to Dash Point Starbucks and back. It's not that far. And yet, when Jesus finally does decide to set out to go to Bethany, to go see Lazarus, he tells his disciples, he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. And then the disciples of our Lord think a thought about Lazarus that my children have never once thought about me. If he's sleeping, let him sleep. If he's sleeping, let him sleep. That thought has never entered their heads. Why are your eyes closed? Why are you breathing so heavy? Yeah. If he's sleeping, let him sleep. The disciples figure, look, Lord, he's sick. He needs rest. If he's getting rest, he'll get better. If he's sleeping, let him sleep. But Jesus wasn't talking about sleep. Jesus was using sleep as a euphemism for death. This wasn't a daily rest. This wasn't a refreshing kind of rest. This wasn't the kind of nap that you wake up feeling better from. This is the kind of nap you don't wake up from. And if it's true that we are most helpless when we're sleeping, then this kind of sleep is the most helpless state there is. See, we're most helpless when we're sleeping because our senses are dulled. We're most helpless when we're sleeping because there's a lag time between what happens around us and our perception of that. We're most helpless when we're sleeping because we're not able to defend or protect ourselves or take care of ourselves. And Lazarus now has been sleeping the sleep of death, wrapped in grave clothes and buried for 4 days. He's in this most helpless state imaginable. It's not just that Lazarus responds more slowly to stimuli. He doesn't respond at all. It's not just that his senses are dulled, but his senses are dead. He is insensible. All feeling, all life has left Lazarus days ago. We are most helpless when we're sleeping, and appropriately so, sleep is a common euphemism for death. But Jesus wakes the sleeper. Jesus wakes the sleeper. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. Jesus sets himself on this mission to rouse his friend out of this most helpless state of the sleep of death. And Jesus makes his way towards Bethany, and while he's making his way there, Martha first comes out to meet him, and Martha says, "Where were you? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Your brother will rise again." Next, Mary comes out to meet him, and Mary says, "Where were you? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where have you laid his body?" And they take Jesus to the grave. If you remember my statistic from earlier, really frightening. 80% of children between 2 and 13 years old sleep through smoke detectors and fire alarms. The people who did that study, not surprisingly, were kind of shocked by the results and uncomfortable with the results, and they did further tests to figure out what a helpful solution might be. And what they found was that instead of relying on those loud beeps to wake the sleeper, what works far, far better, what's far, far more effective at waking the sleeper, instead of a loud beep, was a voice. A voice. A voice that would speak confidently and calmly, directing them to get up, was far more effective than just a beep. A voice speaking through the same kind of device, but of human voice, was more powerful and effective at waking the sleepers. And so there is Jesus standing outside of the grave, where Lazarus' dead body has been wrapped for 4 days and bound in the tomb. And what does Jesus do? Jesus speaks. Jesus wakes the sleeper. Jesus speaks the dead man to life. It says, "Lazarus, come out." Jesus speaks and he calls through the stone down into the depths of the grave, and the one slumbering in that most helpless state is roused and is wakened, and he lives. You see, for Jesus, raising someone to life is no more difficult than waking someone from a nap. For Jesus, raising someone to life is no more difficult than waking someone from a nap. Jesus wakes the sleeper with his voice. Jesus speaks words of invitation, words that invite and evoke faith, words that give life, words that offer resurrection by sharing in his own resurrection. And this same Jesus still speaks today. His voice still goes out today. And so it just might be the case that even this morning, God would perhaps use my fumbling words to invite and evoke faith in you. It might just be the case that God would even speak through these human lips and vocal cords to offer rousing words of faith for you. So that just as Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe?" So this morning I ask you, do you believe? Do you believe? Will you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you would have life in his name? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life for you? Come, awake, arise, live. And it just might be the case that later this afternoon, or tomorrow evening, or some afternoon this next week, it just might be the case that God would speak his rousing words of life through your lips, inviting and evoking faith within someone in your life, as you have opportunity to share your faith in the risen Son of God, whose resurrection overflows and wakes the sleepers the world over. There are people all around us who are sleeping, some of them right next to you, and that's okay right now. But there are people all around us who are sleeping even when they're awake, who are sleeping even before that great sleep at the end of life. And we've got a choice, my friends. We've got a choice. Given that there are people all around us who are sleeping, we have a choice. One option is we can stand silently outside the grave like the people mourning at Lazarus' tomb, whimpering with the rest of them, with no words to offer and no hope to give, silently letting decay take its place. Another option is we can be like that smoke detector, shouting and beeping obnoxiously that nobody wants to hear and it doesn't work anyway. Or we could speak personal words of life, trusting that the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that gave life to Jesus' words to Lazarus, the same Spirit that rose Christ himself on the third day, the same Spirit that was given to you in your baptism, the same Spirit that clings in faith to the word of gospel as you have heard it, that same Spirit is at work through you. Not just in you and not just for you, but through you. For Jesus, raising someone to life is as simple as waking somebody from a nap. And he can use your words to accomplish that. And so guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Amen.